This is an interview with Sharon Wojciechowski, conducted by Taryn Jones in Victoria, BC, on November 14th, 2006. Question for you is, why did you decide to join the military?
Well, I guess the recruiters had come before we graduated, right. Talked about it. At that time, I guess it was just the sense of adventure, really, right. That it was something different to do. Mm-hmm. So that was, and the other reason is that I was helping set the salary at home, and it seemed very unfair to live with people that are, you know, making the same salary and being the one that has enough money.
Right.
So that was a little bit better, not very much, but the other things that came out with, like the amount of leave that we had, things like that, certainly made up for that.
What did your family think of you joining the military?
I think they were a little taken aback. Mm-hmm. I'm from a large family. Mm-hmm. Three sisters and four brothers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was unusual.
Right.
In those days, because I mean, it's not when there's, like now, a lot of people are joining to get going to Afghanistan and that sort of thing. Basically, when I was in it, it was just mainly, you know, peacekeeping missions. So it was a different time, because it was sort of past the Cold War. You know, which people tend to forget about.
Mm-hmm.
The period where they were looking for submarines and whatever. And,
right.
You know, sort of like that. But basically, I wanted to travel, and that was certainly another big reason.
Do you have any family who've been in the military before?
No. Well, I shouldn't say none. I had one uncle who'd been in the Army during Korea.
Okay.
My grandfather was in the Boer War sort of thing. So, but other than that, I don't know. Quite new.
Mm-hmm. So, as you were a nursing sister, what did your job really entail?
Basically, it depended on where you were sent. Like when I was in Ottawa, it was just at that time that the National Defense Medical Center was new, relatively speaking, not real. And it was like comparable to a general hospital setting. It was the main sort of center for all of the military, in some cases, and that's so that part wasn't really a whole lot different. And the other place you could get sent to, and it's funny, from our basic training group, I can imagine one. She went to Masset. Talk about an isolated posting.
Yeah.
And I also, a girlfriend of mine, enjoying St. Thomas. So she went to Dana, which was a radar station. But, you know, the work was quite different from where he was. So, I mean, the Ottawa sort of, you know, general hospital type of thing. And then I went to Centralia, and that was very much, you know, they have a 10-bed hospital. And it was totally different. You basically did sick parade in the morning. And basically we're dealing with a very healthy, you know, segment of the people, because they had to be healthy to get in, sort of thing. But, you know, there were, you know, accidental things, you know, people breaking bones and things like that, right. But you weren't seeing really, really ill people. So that was quite a difference. I enjoyed my time there, but I really wanted to go to Trenton, because I had been to Trenton on the AIRVAC course, okay. And that really appealed to me. So, because it was something that you'd never get in a civilian hospital.
Right.
And so that was sort of a very interesting, fun period. We were all sort of, you know, in there, and like in Trenton, but most of the AIRVACs were done from Trenton. I think it was from Winnipeg East.
Okay.
Were done by Trenton, and West was done by the other half of the country. But that was, and then within that, I guess when I went back in the service, I was again at NDFC.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I did that.
Yeah.
You know, that basically that sort of was serendipitous, if you like.
Right.
Because I think the future allows change. When we were in the military was basically here 24 hours a day. Military. So that, you know, if you had to go on an extra duty or something like that, you know, you did sort of thing, but it wasn't like it was a great hardship. You know, most of the things were quite reasonable that you may end up working overtime on. Yeah, made me think a lot when I was going through that email that they sent you. But, you know, in terms of our, you know, the time we were in, at one time, to get married, you had to be.
Right.
And then, you know, then was basically, you know, as I say, it was sort of broadening their, I guess it could have been seen as a discriminatory.
Right.
Thing that, you know, you wouldn't have that option, but it was quite, you know, it was accepted at the time,
right.
That you know, that you wouldn't they wouldn't consider you staying in here even when you were married. So that changed sort of in that time period, that then you could get married, but then if you're going to have a family, you would leave certain things. Now you can stay and have maternity leave, but, you know, there are a lot of women that have done that. And the service, and I guess they've worked around it. I mean, it was probably, they got away with sort of some of those things before. Because it seemed that was just the way it was. In fact, you know, nurses in the general hospital setting, they used to have to resign. And you didn't have a job. You just didn't work until you were going back. And a lot of them, there were still a lot of people that just, you know, you got married, you stopped working. Mm-hmm. And which I did for a couple of years when, like, the ball was small. We have a small family, as it turns out. But I was getting to the stage then, you know, when he was starting school, that I know, you know, that I wanted to go back to work. And so, as I say, I was just picking Andy up from work one day, and one of the chaps from the Surgeon General office, when he came back, yes. Goodbye. So I looked into it, and it meant I would be staying in Ottawa, and I wouldn't have to do basic training, which by this time had become much more grueling than what we had experienced. You know, the nurses used to go separately to a very shortened basic training. Now, like Kathy would have had to go to Chilliwack.
Right.
I do the whole 9 yards of up the new marches and all that thing, which I didn't get to do. So I just then went back there, and I had done some teaching before I joined the Air Force. So I was sent to School for Instructional Technique and Energy. Teaching medical assistance at Indians. And I was teaching both the classroom and, you know, clinical on the ward. And at the time, my father had heart surgery. And so I was very interested in, you know, cardiac. And that happened to be the area that I was teaching in. And I got onto that, and then the head nurse was leaving there, and so I had was moved to, and I just got my rank. It was quite different in those days. All of the people needing investigation of, you know, anything that might be cardiac or had an MI, they, and the NG was like the place that they all came from all over, whether it was Europe or what, if somebody had a heart attack, they came to get investigated. And that was during the time also that the Civic Hospital was starting there.
Okay.
So that was worked out nicely with the service coming there, you know, having their angiogram. And then they would go to the Heart Institute, or work with the cardiac unit, and have their surgery, and then about 2 days post, came back to NBC.
Right.
And so that went on for all the time that I was there.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of when they stopped that. because I also then worked at the Heart Institute. So there was this, you know, connection, and we still had sort of. But now NDMC is gone.
Right.
And people are being treated. They were very good to the wives, but it was quite a disruption. Mm-hmm. You know, to not have their husbands
right.
near. Mm-hmm. So now they've done whatever, if they're in Newfoundland, that's where they're. They would be done, investigated, and have surgery or whatever.
Right.
So it was quite a different slant on things later when that happened. You know, you could see the demise of a central medical center. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, money was the other big thing that kept, you know, cut back. Which is too bad. And the waste that was, I think it's now offices of NDMC. But, yeah, it was, I guess, the last client. Service were still, you know, that even when I left, still didn't have maternity leave for. So, and that was about the extent of it there. I had, you know, I think that was one thing about the military. They there was always something challenging,
right.
And you were taking, you know. Going on temporary duty, of course. And so it was a very. I don't think you ever went anywhere that you didn't know at least one person.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, there was always. Somebody was always.
Right.
You know, the new guy in town, but you sort of. Mm-hmm. As long as you knew people, it was.
Right.
Right. I think that's. What my experience was, you know, I would say it wasn't a, and you know, maybe now I would have stayed longer, but then they sort of, you know, I was afraid of getting posted on my own,
right.
And we had had to decide, you know, who's girl. So, you know, it was a good time. Mm-hmm. We met wonderful people. You always felt as though, you know, the camaraderie was there. Mm-hmm. But you see, even when we were in, we had to stay in residence.
Okay.
And that meant you got to know people, you know, very well, sort of. There was always a group of, you know, single people living in residence.
Mm-hmm.
Now they didn't have that. They would, like, the nurses had their own quarters.
Right.
And the officers looked at the mess.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And nowadays, I guess, you know, they can live off these.
Mm-hmm.
And you lose that. I mean, it's probably, like, you might have thought you missed out on something not being residence
right.
for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of that. Getting to meet people mm-hmm. and, you know, because you're just having classes and going home,
right.
you don't develop that same camaraderie that you do, you know,
mm-hmm.
sort of. same
right.
place, if you will.
Yeah. Say that the military afforded you more opportunities than you would have had as a civilian nurse?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think it eventually was, you know, there were things, they were usually in medical, either, you know, teaching or administration. But there was the opportunity to go to university, to go into your master's. I don't know whether the same level exists now. I think most of the nurses are, if they are in the military, they're seconded to an acute care hospital because they're not dealing with, you know, because people are getting their medical care where they're living, then, you know, and obviously if you're going to a war zone or whatever, you really needed to have your skills kept current. That's, you know, that was the reason. And I can remember Kathy had. She was attached to the hospital, the base, or what would they call it? No, it's a portable hospital.
Right.
And so she got a lot of temporary duty, sort of working on, you know, they were getting the hospital tents, and they were quite primitive in those days. Well, they're basically World War II stuff.
Right.
You know, they sort of upgrade that for a long time. But, yeah, you could see why MASH was there. And that was the other thing, you know, you were part of a team.
Right.
And I think that was very important. And I think as a, you know, going in with a commission and having very senior warrant officers and sergeants, you know, the other staff.
Right.
It was also, at least in the Air Force, that team effort seemed to be very, very strong.
Right.
I think that the Army had a different mentality altogether. Very structured, very,
right.
You know. Whereas the Air Force tended to be the same, like an airplane just can't get off the ground, just, you know, the pilot, the flight engineers, and, you know, load masters, and somebody to fix, you know, the plane. So they were, you know, you had to work as part of the team because your airplane wasn't going to run if, you know, wasn't going to be serviced if you weren't for that. The other ranks. So that was, I think, the big difference between, say, the Air Force and the Army. The Navy, I didn't really know that many nurses in the Navy. They tended to be, you know, on one coast to the other.
Right.
So, ran into a few, but that's not really, that had sort of anything. I think they were very, they have a very strong connection, shall we say. But it's like when I went in the military, the second we are all was gone. Suddenly, you know, you're seeing things run away with, like, shortly after that. We used to wear these veils, but mind you, they hid a multitude of sin because you'd, you know, they were right around your head like that. Which was his wife. He used to starch them by pasting them up on a board on the wall. Anyway, they changed to, you know, a cap. Mm-hmm. Of course, now nobody wears a cap, right?
Right.
And in those days, you know, couldn't be missed with the veil. And I guess some of the older veterans that were coming, and they'd all call you sister.
Right.
Which, you know, was different.
Mm-hmm.
But they had, you know, that's how they
right.
related to the nursing sisters on the war.
Right. Were there any male nurses at the time?
I think one.
Okay.
And you know something? Which was terribly, I think now it wouldn't happen. The male nurses didn't get a commission.
Okay.
And that somehow seemed wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But there was so few.
Right.
And they might be, you know, a sergeant. Or,
mm-hmm.
I never quite understood. And of course, nowadays, mm-hmm. I just think there's probably at least 25% in
right.
of the men taking mm-hmm. going into nursing. A lot of them knowing, again, that the opportunities were more in the service for them.
Right.
And they had, you know, they'd be the ones that would go out and have a medical unit, mm-hmm. like an MRI. MRI.
Okay. Do you remember how much you were paid?
Oh, I think, you know, the first time we made about $350 a month.
Okay.
And then you know, and later it was a lot before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was very much of a women's nurses union.
Mm-hmm.
Union was a new thing.
Right.
Before nurses couldn't join a mm-hmm. union, nor could say an engineer.
Okay.
There wasn't anything else. So I mean that. Over the years, they have sort of
mm-hmm.
had some, and that's the young girls now coming out
right.
of university.
Mm-hmm.
And we're right on the ball.
Right.
You know, to have certainly legitimate
right.
concerns, and I'm glad that they, you know, they made the big changes that they have. I think it's because a lot of people trained in civilian hospitals or Catholic hospitals where the nuns ran it.
Right.
So that part of nursing has changed immensely because, you know, when you're students, you work for nothing.
Right.
And of course, the nuns, you know,
mm-hmm.
they probably got some stipend from the government,
right.
but they ran a lot of the hospitals. So you just didn't expect
mm-hmm.
a lot. You went in because you liked, you know.
Right.
You didn't go in for money, that's for sure.
Right.
And so that's one of the changes.
Yeah. Did you ever get any raises?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Quite good. Actually, that. Go into the recruiting center and ask them, they'll give you sort of a list of what they're paid, and that can be
mm-hmm.
can be interesting. It's another one of the changes.
Okay.
Yes, it was certainly always comparable.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it got to be more than you would make in a civilian. Once you sort of were promoted, mm-hmm. you were into that, you know, a different category and where it's paid. And that could get certainly mm-hmm. More than just, you know, somebody doing general duty.
Right.
I think we were pretty lucky. We had the opportunity to travel and we do things like we take our, if we're going to Marville or Mar to pick up a patient, we would take our days off over here.
Good idea.
So that was kind of nice.
Yeah.
We could fly with the, you know, and fly it's funny, you lose words like that were typical. But anyway, they were some interesting and fun trips.
Right.
A great way to do it without.
You were saying that, of course, as you got promoted, you got more money. What opportunities existed for promotion at the time?
Well, pretty well. It was, you know, 4 years, after 4 years, you got promoted to it would be flight lieutenant, except by the time I was, it was captain.
Right.
And then after that, it was basically, you know, if you were selected to go on.
Okay.
So they have a promotion board.
Right.
And, you know, looking over, you know, what skills that you had. But it was good because you were able to develop some skills. And some of the girls, you know, went back and did a master's.
Right.
So I'd say if you were very career minded. You stood a chance of promotion.
Right.
But then often getting right into just administration.
Yeah. Earlier you were mentioning some of the World War II era tents that were used. What sort of equipment did you have, generally speaking?
I was still in the MDMC. MDMC was quite a new hospital.
Okay.
A lot of hospitals we trained in were pretty old and rickety in those days. But no, that was a new, like, mm-hmm. a new facility.
Okay.
And Trenton, the work was different because you had a lot of people coming through getting ready to go to mm-hmm. out to peacekeeping missions,
okay.
that sort of thing. So every week we had a needle parade, which was, you know, giving everybody their shots. So that was a good afternoon sort of thing.
Right. Also, earlier you were mentioning about the training, how some nurses are trained in the hospitals and whatnot. Where did you do your training?
In Kingston.
Okay.
So, I grew up in Kingston. So did it there, and that was in those days you didn't require a degree, and it wasn't until I would say the 80s. You know, it depends on the government's largesse sometimes.
Right.
It was like getting rid of all the nursing assistants in a general hospital, which to me was not a good, you know, option sort of thing. Because there's certain stores and bars that I know the acuity in hospitals is like that heavy. You don't have sort of patients almost ready to go out as soon as they're sort of have their tubes out their home.
Right.
So, and now I think, and that's always been difficult, now you're required to have a degree, or you know, keep studying before.
Mm-hmm. What did your training involve? I've heard from other nurses that they had to learn how to march and things like that. Did you ever have to do that?
Or it was a little bit of a joke. We were supposed to, that was the basic training where we were supposed to learn to march. I think some poor sergeant teacher just shook his head. But nowadays they really have to.
Right.
We sort of were a bit spoiled then. We sort of had a couple of hours of how to, how to recognize what rank we could do.
Right.
Saluted a higher rank. And we never really did even have a parade, which was probably just this one. But now they're expected to do the flying yards.
Right.
And again, that's, when you're that age, it can be fun.
Right.
A little adventure. Everybody, having it in misery together.
Yeah.
But, so ours was quite short. That part of it was really March.
And did you have to be already a registered nurse before you could join the military?
Yes.
Okay.
No. Maybe that's still. So I don't know how they're. Nowadays, it's a different structure. But, patients, like in Afghanistan, we're going to need people that have up-to-date ICU training, which in a war, specialty areas, because it's changed a lot, as you can imagine. 40 years, like us, with computers,
right,
versus the world. And yet so many things now are computerized.
Mm-hmm.
It is, you certainly have to keep up with all of that to,
right,
to stay current.
On that note, did you find that you're doing a lot of learning on the job?
Yes. I think each area we went to, there was something to learn.
Right.
Each specialty we went to, there was a lot to learn. And of course, ICUs were quite new then.
Right.
And not quite as sort of things now that people would just go in and shake their hand. Not
sure.
It would.
Mm-hmm.
As well, everything is so technical,
right,
that you're not dealing with the patient as much.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there's so much burnout, I think.
Right.
You just sort of don't even want to look the patient in the eye because you really want to talk and you've got to get on to the next one, sort of thing. Yeah. I would say we were always pretty well staffed. I mean, there always are sort of busy times and quiet times. It's changed dramatically. Are just not in hospitals anymore, so you don't have that. You don't have 10 patients, and 3 of them are going to be going home tomorrow. And then, 3 very sick ones, and 3 mediums. they stay in hospital longer. They stay in elders. And a lot of things that they used to do as a inpatient. I tend to go back to cardiology and cardiac surgery. You know, they used to be in the 2 days before their operation. Now it's that they come in that morning and they're out in 5 or 6 days.
Right.
Whereas they used to be in for 2 weeks. And at NDMC, it used to be even longer than that.
Right.
Post surgery.
You were saying earlier that there was one male nurse that you were aware of. Were you aware of any female doctors?
Yes.
Okay.
They came in after they'd done their internship.
Okay.
And they came, that was, you know, the medical program. Mm-hmm. Supported them during school.
Right.
The dentists and the doctors. You know, they'd end up like the RMC, railroads. They had their education
subsidized,
so they had to pay back 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them would stay in, and go on and do. Some of them would go back to do a residency program in surgery. Cardiology or whatever. So they had that opportunity in the service, but of course, if they went, I mean, these guys were sort of mostly had young families. So that if they went to do a specialty, you know, they knew they had to in the years after, which it's pretty fair, I think.
Yeah.
It's like now women in the military are certainly increasing in different areas like engineering and, you know, whatever they choose to, to take. So I think they have a very good training. It's, a lot of it is developing esprit de corps.
Mm-hmm. Between a female and a male doctor, who do you think there would have been a difference in the respect commanded by each?
No, okay. I don't think so.
Okay.
Because I've known that Andy's brother is having heart surgery on Thursday, and the surgeon that's doing it is Mary Keita, who's, she did her training her MD through the service.
Okay.
And then did the postgraduate, and then she went to the Heart Institute and did her cardiac surgery.
Right.
So it's a small world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A few minutes ago, you were mentioning that now women are doing more varied things, applying to engineering services and whatnot. Were there many other opportunities for women in the 60s, or was it mainly just nursing?
There were nursing and then admin.
Okay.
You know, there were admin positions. And, I don't think there was as many opportunities as there are.
Right. Yeah.
So that's I would say more opportunities. But, you know, now that they have females going to in the army rank, you know, in army ranks and in the other ranks, they always had, you know, they had the chance but it was usually up a sort of a more administrative or ladder for the, you know, young girls trying nowadays. They're just one of the guys, basically, you know,
yeah.
What's expected of is the same.
Right. Now, because you married when you were in the services and then you took your discharge mm-hmm. and then came back, did you notice there was much of a difference in the way that you were treated when you returned as a married woman?
There were changes, yeah. They were, you know, they were slowly sort of accepting mm-hmm. married people, and I was after that, that the whole equality.
Right.
Things came in that women were, and that was one thing I think the pay was, you know, was
right.
You might get specialty pay, like if you were a doctor, mm-hmm. you would come in with a cat as a cat,
right.
Or their equipment was a nosebleed.
Mm-hmm.
The other ranks, you know, they were Air Force, Navy, or yes,
mm-hmm.
Army ranks.
In a given area, the pay was generally equal?
Yeah,
okay.
you get specialty like the doctor.